These are the big things. We've got some other little ones we're working on, and
well, you don't have to do anything on sugar. You can just let it lay, can't you?
That's what I'm trying to do, but they doesn't want to bring out PL-480 until sugar's decided, and I've got to go up and put the arm on him once more.
Why does he want to do that?
Because he thinks he'll have more pressure on sugar to make the administration do what he wants, because he knows that PL-480 is important. Just that simple. He doesn't even make any bones about it. If you want PL-480 and Food for Peace program, why, you'd be nice boys where sugar's concerned. Which,
why is he so interested in sugar?
Well, because the House Agriculture Committee likes to play State Department. And this is one place where they got every country in the world running up there, Cooley has, whining, dining, and courting in order to allocate out what country gets what sugar quota. And they love every minute of it. And that's what it comes down to, and every lobbyist in town courting them on the same basis. And he just runs a little court of royalty over there on this basis. And as you know, this time particularly, it's a real naughty, has some additionally difficult overtones because of the quick switch worldwide from a critical position of short supply and high price a year ago to one now where our prices currently are higher than the world prices. We urged increased production from other countries and our own domestic producers to try and keep the price from going through the roof, and now it's completely turned around on us. Well, you know all this. And also, it overlaps with the beef situation, because the same bastards that are screaming at us in some of the beef areas are just waiting and already have started to scream on the beef thing. So I've urged them very, very strongly to go ahead and open hearings, and this is going to be a fight, and that we would come in at the appropriate time when we could do some good, and let's not be exposed early and have everyone jumping on us.
Have they had any hearings on 480?
Yes, Polk has completed his hearings on 480, and now I'm working on Ellender. So far, Ellender has said he doesn't want to move on 480 until the House does. If I can't move Polk, I'll go back to Ellender and try and get him to move ahead so we can start hearings on the Senate and get them out of the way as quick as possible.
When does it expire, 480?
It expires, expires the end of this calendar year. This one runs on a calendar year basis.
Well, Polk won't let it expire, will he?
I don't think so, no. I don't think so. But the one thing they're talking about on both sugar and on PL-480 that worries me just a bit is that they're talking about one-year extensions because it's an election year, some merit in this. On the other hand, next year we'll get socked with all our commodity programs plus PL-480 plus sugar, and they'll have a dollar figure dancing around on agriculture that'll break the bank. And I'd rather get some of them out of the way this year. And PL-480, if we're going to operate with these countries and as a part of our foreign policy and advanced planning, why, we need a five-year program and at the very least a three-year program so we can do it properly.
Mansfield says that Gail McGee wants to be chairman of that study group. I wouldn't think that'd be very good for a senator to be chairman, would you?
No, sir, I wouldn't think it'd be very good, number one, for a senator to be chairman, number two, because Gail identified himself very early in the game as being anti chain store, and I think that the validity and the effectiveness and the usefulness of this study would be compromised if we had anyone as a chairman who would be considered on one side or another as having strong preconceptions. I say that with great respect for Gail McGee, who I like and who ran the Humane thing, and who I think probably would do a pretty good job. But I think on this basis that it would be bad. But he's running a hell of a campaign, and he's suggesting that if the chairman is not a member of Congress, why, it means that that really this is going to be a kind of a whitewash of the chain stores, and he's been a little bit nasty this way.
Who would be the outstanding man for this?
Well, we've gone into this very, very carefully, as you instructed, and I think at this point we would recommend Marvin Jones as the chairman. I've got a little reservation, Mr. President, that in terms of his age, if he's got the real vigor and drive this would take, but checking with a number of people, why, he seems to have a hell of a lot of bounce, and he knows something about agriculture, although he hasn't been exposed to it for many, many years. If his mind is quick enough to pick it up, he's got a background, and as you say, he's a fellow that would be for the folks and would tend to satisfy the producers. I think we've got to have someone on there also that, if you'll pardon my language, has got a little cow shit on his shoes. But I think we ought to be careful that it's someone that is not too highly identified with any one or another side in this beef wrangle business between the chain stores and the producers either. Because I envisage this study as having the status that the Umani one had years ago and giving us some of the information that we're going to have if we're going to make really sensible and thoughtful and accurate appraisals of what goes on. So our plans will be based upon sensible foundations that are publicly acceptable. And of course, that's going to require people who are just like Caesar's ghost, especially on the president's appointees.
What about who else if you can't get Joan?
Well, I think we can, from all we find out, that Jones is available.
Well, suppose we didn't want a name, who would be your second choice?
If we weren't going to name Jones at this point, the second, where the hell is that sheet? We had a second one that's over there now. I should have it on